Hello, welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me, as always, is Steve.
John, how's it going?
Hey, I was just checking out the banking news articles, as I do. And one thing that's happened this year, of course, with the pandemic and credit risk and all that, is there hasn't been very much M&A activity, at least on the banking side, and it slowed up a little bit on the tech side, although there's been a lot of big fundraisings for sure on the payments and the challenger bank side. But we finally got a pretty good sized deal just this week. PNC Bank is buying out the US operations of BBVA.
That's right, BBVA, the gigantic Spanish conglomerate. And what's interesting here, other than sort of the banking sector side, is that there's also a fintech play here. So BBVA, as you may recall, actually acquired Simple, I think about 2 years ago or so. And Simple has fared, let's say, slightly less well than other neobanks in the space like Chime. So this could be either the death knell or the potential end of the Simple journey, which is freighted with so much optimism and all this sort of thinking that Simple could be the new bank to challenge all the mega banks, but it seems like that's kind of gone by the wayside now.
So is that just another example of it's just so hard to be a disruptor to chart the course you need to chart to break things up when you're part of a large company?
I think it's we see this a lot with any company that gets acquired by Walmart. They end up just sort of becoming not very innovative. They lose a lot of that magic that made the company special in the first place. And I think we're seeing that with Simple now and with BVA, where they kind of smothered it, gave it all these resources, but then just sort of ultimately just died and withered.
Yeah, it just well, part of it is I guess you don't have to struggle to survive because you're part of this big corporate bureaucracy. And then the other thing is the bureaucracy that stops you from doing all the crazy things that maybe Chime would take a risk on and paid off that Simple or others like that. I mean, that are captured or acquired and then get disappeared into the, shut down after their acquisition or something.
Yeah, I think when we see in kind of an interesting dynamic here in the neobank space, we see Simple, of course, which we're discussing here, but also N26 actually pulled out of the UK about a year ago or so, or right after Brexit rather. So there seems to be a pullback in the neobank space, which is pretty interesting and kind of counter to what again all the hopes and aspirations were of all these companies, 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's funny you say that. Yeah, they were mentioning in the articles that HSBC had pulled back from some geographic expansion. RBS, which had the Royal Bank of Scotland, had so much trouble during the financial crisis. Actually, PNC had also bought their US operations as well. And yeah, there's this pullback. When you're outside of your core, it's hard to tell whether you'll make it pay off and get good at something new, or you'll just get your hand slapped for reaching too far in the cookie jar.
Keep your hands off the cookies, guys.
All right. Well, we're lucky to have two people with us that are taking a big risk and getting their fintech out there. Actually, a returning guest to the podcast. You may remember them if you're an avid listener. From episode 82 back in April of this year, when they were ReFi RX. They've gone through some changes and now they're back as Sleekfin. Thanks for coming back, Jinwei Zhang and Venki Kandaswamy.
Thank you. Thank you,
Hi,
John. Thank
everyone.
you, Steve.
Yes, our returnees are, I guess we're going to keep track of you guys and see how it goes every once in a while. As you go through all the steps in becoming a fintech, through to your IPO, all the way through to when you get bought out by Goldman Sachs 2 years from now.
I love that, John.
That would be a very interesting journey.
That would be very interesting, right. And so you're obligated to come back every 6 months or so to give us an update. Well, I guess you go ahead and give us that update. You were ReFi RX. And now you're Sleekfin, but there's more changes and lots more happening since then.
Yes. At the very beginning, we were originally trying to just target the refinance in United States. Then the pandemic hit, and everything seemed changed. You know, the landing, landscaping all the way to the whole global economy. And also, we went through our first SCADAC accelerator journey. And that journey also changed from offline to online. And but we learned a lot from that journey. And we revisited our proposition and our vision. And so we made a pivot. And we would like to make this company into a much, how do I say, into this vision that we can help ordinary investors to invest in real estate without borders. So this is our vision. And we are going to start from India and target the 4 million Indian expats in the United States as our beachfront of launch. And then we're going to be able to expand that over the border, and we're going to expand that to the in the future for people who ever want to invest overseas real estate, which can diverse their real estate investment portfolio, and all you know fund a retirement property, however the reason they want to, but give people the opportunity and give people the tool to invest real estate beyond the border.
What made you decide on going with the Indian expats who are looking to buy property back in India, right?
So I just want to quickly say about the name change. And it was really to do with the fact that we were registering this company in India as a subsidiary. And we needed to select a new name that was attractive to the Indian population. Now, what is happening in India is that there's a lot of real estate investment going on, and it's expected to reach several billions of dollars in the next few years. And not only is there an inherent internal domestic market, but there's also a huge market from people of Indian origin that are living outside that want to actually buy the property. Today, what is happening is that it's very easy to find the property because there's a lot of sites out there. But what is missing is the fact that these properties are probably not verified, they're not clear, and more importantly, you don't know how to actually get financing because you're overseas. And there is a disparity in the financing versus the acquisition of the properties, and that's the gap we're trying to fill. So the idea is that if you are able to find something that you like in India and you're living overseas, we make the process very smooth to get the financing based on your credit and your history in your home country, especially like the US or Europe. So that's one of our targets, not the sole focus, but we are also doing the same three-way marketing that we had talked about, and we are starting it in India.
And I just want to add on top of that, I think this also has something to do with, you know, how we look at the whole real estate market and the job market and the COVID change, how we work and how we live. After COVID, that will be this establishment of a remote working, and that are probably going to be more available in the tech industry than any other industry, where you know you basically can log in with a VPN and work anywhere you like. And with that said, we will see some job shift from the Silicon Valley into other area where it's cheaper. And India most likely will be one of the place will kind of benefit from this unfortunate of a COVID situation. And when we heard earlier, Uber had 3,500 layoff, and they move a whole department into India. So we are expecting to see upcoming tech industry in India and the booming of the middle class in India. And we are expecting in the near future, the real estate market in India will grow like what China did in early 2000. And so, and also what Dubai did in 2000 to now. So we would like to generate this opportunity for people who's interested in investing in real estate and not miss the opportunity overseas because they don't know where to start.
How about the regulatory and other obstacles that are, you know, bureaucratic kind of things? You know, India's famous for like the license raj, where there's so many approvals you have to get. But is buying and selling property a little bit easier than that?
Let me answer that. I think there obviously is a lot of bureaucracy in India. However, the aspect of actually selling a house, what you would call a real estate broker, is not very regulated. What is regulated is the actual financing part, where some money changes hands. You know, you're a bank, you're actually giving money to the consumer to finance their property. That is, in fact, regulated, just like here. But the brokerages are not. And one of the big things is that these two things don't work together in India. So there's a bunch of financing companies, there's a bunch of real estate companies, and then there's a bunch of builders who are putting up these huge apartment complexes. And what we are about is to bring all these three things together in a three-way marketplace where, you know, you're guaranteed to find the property and to get the proper financing in a very smooth manner.
So the idea here, guys, is that you'll create that linkage between the builders, the buyer, and the seller, and create a vertically integrated system so that you can invest in real estate back in India and then eventually expand to other countries, right?
That's correct.
Yes, that's correct. And also, there's the inherent...
Steve's available if you need to hire a marketing person.
We do have a marketing person in India that is starting our initial engagements with the builders and with the banks. Now, one thing that I would want to point out is that as our journey progressed from April, we were actually looking at the bidding model, if you remember, that we were going to actually allow financiers to compete for your business. One of the things we found out in India is, of course, that people are very secretive about the actual rate or the terms that is being offered to the consumer. And while it's not a license raj, it's actually more a secretive raj, you know, like where you're doing it be under the table. It's still legal. It's just that they don't publish those rates and no one knows exactly what deal you got. And in this scenario, we believe that a model of a pipeline-like model will emerge where we can use the intelligence of the people who are on our platform, the consumers, and their past loan experiences in the neighborhood to actually figure out using artificial intelligence and data science, what is the rate that the financier is likely to accept. And that's a model that we are considering as well.
Very interesting. So how large is this market both in India and the total market that you're addressing globally?
The market in India is expected to grow a lot and is expected to hit like 50 billion or something in the next 5 years. And the reason is that there's a lot of people who want to now own homes, and people are being the complexes that there's a transition from building like small independent homes to these large apartment like complexes where people want to buy the flat. Two things have changed in that respect. One, the homes are more affordable. And the second thing is people have an opportunity to buy in the location they want. So both these factors together, with the fact that there's a large middle class with quite an amount of disposable income, is accelerating that boom to actually buy real estate and own homes.
So add on to that, so the total available market for Indian and the forecast is $2 billion in real estate transaction. And $8.43 billion, which is US dollar, mortgage that include a new mortgage and mortgage refinancing and some other kind of house related loans. So that's the current figure for Indian market.
Interesting. That makes sense. You also have a blockchain angle, right? So you're actually you're doing all the transactions on a DLT ledger. How are you using this technology to make this better, and why blockchain?
So the blockchain is about actually having integrity in our transactions. So we want to make it open. For example, that you actually accepted a bid or an offer from somebody, and that you're going to fulfill that, and we track the actual terms and conditions of that fulfillment on the blockchain. So we use smart contracts to make sure that whatever conditions that you agreed on upfront is actually satisfied, and then you go through to complete your transaction. Now, the blockchain is just a technology for us to be able to provide this open integrity in our platform so that anybody who wants to view the chain of events, if they have access to it, then they can see it. That's how we are using that.
That's very interesting. So it's basically it's a more secure way to understand who owns the property, what transaction is going through, and essentially make sure that that's not something that can be changed easily. Why? So I understand the size and complexity of the India market, but would most of your customers for this platform be based in the US or India or both? And why did you choose India in the first place?
So India is a highly volatile, growing market, right? It's a huge middle class, and there's a lot of people. Like I said, the factors that are positively changing the people's attitude where they want to own homes, that kind of phenomenon is not occurring in all countries. India is one of the few countries where that's happening. The expats in the US and in Europe, et cetera, are also want to leverage that phenomenon and want to own residences and properties in India. So we think that it was a good market to start with, to kind of experiment with our model and see how we can make it successful.
So just add on top of that, I think we all have both expat and Indian nationals on our platform as our consumers. And we're going to launch it to just the Indian consumers first, and before we open it to expat. And the reasons are, we just want to make sure we test the system and everything's perfect before we open up across the border. And also the expected growth in Indian market are double digit. And we're probably not going to see that kind of growth in the US market or any mature market in this way. And I mean, China's real estate market is tabled, and you're not going to see that growth anymore. So the investors from China look down into Southeast Asia, and that include the Indian, you know, Vietnam and the India and other kind of market, to looking for the next big growth of real estate and nowadays. Especially with the hit of COVID, we're probably going to see a real estate downturn in United States because of COVID, and likely in other places too. And the European market is already a mature market in the way of things are not grow in the double digit way years ago. So with that said, we see the global real estate market kind of going to shift in a way, and together with the job market and where the tech goes. So this is our analysis of the whole real estate market overall. So with that said, so we think Indian market will be a great place to start, and our whole global vision. And because that market most likely will give investor a better return.
That's definitely a good selling point. You know, since we talked to you in April, You went through the Skydeck process. How did you enjoy that? And how much did that influence your new focus?
We enjoyed the Skydeck a lot. And it's a very interesting experience. And they brought in, different speakers from all kind of background. Unfortunately, we have an online experience. I was expecting the regular offline experience being so much better. But we made the best update. Then we can really go back to rethink our model, rethink our steps, and rethink everything. And, we're a startup. We can pivot much easier than an established company. That's what we're good at. And we use this opportunity well. So just make sure. And we have a firm start and with a real niche market that can help people address their issue. And then that can help us to grow and help to grow fast.
Where are you guys in the product development? Are you ready to release or are you beta testing? And have you guys received any investment money or are you just, are you self-funding for now?
We are in the beta testing. So we are testing our product now and before we broadly launch it. And we just want to make sure the product is work simultaneously between our builder website, our vendor website, and also our app for consumer. It's a very complex model, and it's it's a really big project that have a lot of code. We just make sure it works. And then,
right. Yeah, that's
so we are in our beta testing. And we already have a very big Indian bank interested. We are sending them up in the process of some document. And we also have bigger builders interested, at least their property through our platform. So we're going to start to target qualified builders. Like what I would say is a big name, good name builders, and to make sure we control the quality on our website first. And then we're going to target those big quality lenders before we open to medium, small sized lenders. So make sure everything works perfectly. And we also have to test our model and based on customers' feedback to see what they need, what they need to add, what they need to change. And then before we kind of assign more people onto the platform. So that's where we're at. And we are excited. I think that we're going to launch in a few weeks.
Oh, in a few weeks?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So this is a coming out party too.
Yes.
Sounds like you have a few challenges still ahead, just getting started with those partnerships, which we'll be excited to check up with you on next year when we may or may not have a new president in the U.S. who knows? Or it will be a dictatorship. Who knows? And it'll be a very different world in 6 months, just like it's so different now from 6 months ago. So we'd love to check in with you again. And by then, maybe your name will be a verb. Like people will say, oh, yeah, I want to buy a house. I'll just sleek fin it.
That'd be nice. We would love to have this as a new name. We, sleek fin, we have a very sleek transaction for you.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Or we'll be excited to hear your new name in 6 months, maybe, too. Well, yeah, thanks for joining us on the podcast. That was Jinwei Zhang and Venki Kandaswamy, the co-founders of SleekFin. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news. And thanks again for listening.